Okay, so let me just, before we start, let me just make a point. I don't want to get into it, but it is an interesting thing to note. That yesterday, the last 2 days, we discussed the main pasuk in the Torah that discusses Lifnei Iver. The truth is that there is a second pasuk in the Torah that warns against Lifnei Iver, and I don't mean the way we talked about yesterday, of Lotasim Beveitecha, but in Parshat Kitavo, which hopefully you were all paying attention to last week.
It's my brother's promise.
It was also last week. It's a good parsha. So we have the klalot. Right? We have the curses and the blessings. And one of the klalot in Kitavo is Arur Mashge Iver Baderech V'amar Kolam Amen. Right? Cursed is one who causes the blind person to err on the way. And the Mefarshim note that this is similar to Lifnei Iver, as we discussed, right? Someone who's not just physically blind, but Iver Baderech, right? It's clear here that it is metaphorical, right? It may be level two, right? But it's Iver Baderech. It's not someone who's actually blind. It's someone who's blind on the way, which is yet another proof that Iver doesn't mean literal. And the Mefarshim include in this all the various things we've seen Lifnei Iver, plus others. The Malbim includes the prohibition against magic, because it leads people astray from God, right? It makes people think that they have powers that they don't, and the like.
You mean you can't do those card tricks with your grandma because it leads to a Vodazara?
No, like real discussion for another time. But there's just a point that's important from the Rashbam and the Ibn Ezra. Right, if I asked you, why is it that certain mitzvot or averot get curses and certain do not? I mean, you can't give, you always have to keep the Torah. Right, meaning every
context?
So every mitzvah in the Torah, right, you should keep it, and if you don't keep it, it's bad. So why is it that in last week's parsha, Hashem tells us that when you get into Eretz Yisrael, you're going to make this huge scene, and you're going to get on two mountains, and Har Gerizim and Har Ebal, and you have the whole Klal Yisrael aligned on these mountains, and Levim in the middle, and you're going to pick out a few mitzvot that you're not just going to keep, but we're going to publicly curse anyone who violates them. I mean, what is worse? You feel like these mitzvot or these averot are worse.
How do they mean with curse?
I don't know what it means.
Yeah,
curse. It means that God said curse.
And now what do you mean by curse? And what kind of context do you mean by cursing?
Well, I just said, God says when you get into Israel, you divide the entire nation onto two mountains, half an Har Gerizim and half an Har Ebal, and you publicly say that these people are cursed. I don't know what cursed means exactly, right? I mean, that's part of Kitavo, right? There's all the curses that God will bring on you. Right? I mean, that's part of the context in Devarim, right? All the terrible things that could happen.
Does it still imply it to now, this time?
Yes, presumably. God's word is eternal. I don't know if that you were, like, scared of the curses. Okay, anyways.
No, I get these weird hiccups every once.
Okay. So the Mefarshim asks, so whatever the curses are, I mean, the curses are everything that's listed here in Devarim, all the horrible, horrible things that could happen, right? That could happen to you, right? And, you know, it gets worse and worse, right? I mean, Sefer Devarim goes through all the different curses that God could give you, and, you know, one is worse than the next, right? You end up eating your children, right? Because you'll be starving so much, right? I mean, like, bad things. But why these sins, right? Meaning, of the 613, why these 15, whatever it is, Avera, what is so bad about Lifnei Iver? So the Rashbam and the Ibn Ezra both point out that if you follow all the arurs, what's common to all of them is that they're things that are done in private. Right? There's something particularly insidious about sins that are done behind closed doors or in your head.
Why?
Right?
What do you mean?
How can you commit a sin in your head?
No, because that was what we talked about in Lifnei Iver. I could give you advice, which everyone around us will think is good advice. Right, I know it's bad advice, but if it turns out badly, right, I can always say, look, I meant well, right? You can never get it 100%. They'll think it was good advice, and it'll turn out it was bad. Right? Things that are in private that you think you're hiding from God, right? You think you can get away with because it's behind closed doors, or the ill intent is in your head, are particularly bad. And they said that's why these get curses, right?
So
it's
done, though?
What?
How do you know they're done?
You don't. God does. Right? That's the point.
So you're not cursed publicly.
No. Klal Yisrael curses them, right? God is the one who is the guarantor on the curse, right? The Jews assert that these people will be cursed, but God is the guarantor.
You will be cursed
by God, okay. Right? And I think that's something important about Lifnei Iver, right? That part of what makes Lifnei Iver so bad, right, especially the one of bad advice, right, level 3, is that you can totally get away on a human level with it, right? People will not know you're giving a bad advice. It's you're manipulating
not
things
totally
because you...
True. Some people have their conscience to know that is not great advice.
Maybe.
We're talking about the people who end up choosing to do it, and they clearly don't have that conscience.
Yeah, you know, it could be, but these are the types of things. So that's just, I think, an important point to keep in mind about it in general. Okay. Now let's move to Lifnei Iver. So the last 2 days we talked about how do we get to Lifnei Iver. How exactly? Right? We saw that in the Gemara in Daf Vav, the Gemara jumps already to level 4, right? That Iver means someone who's blinded by passion, and the Michshol is sin. We've beaten that, right? We've beaten that sugya to a pulp. It's done. Yes, exactly. But now we got to ask, okay, well, what is this? What is this sin that we have now created? Right? What is it? What is its nature? Okay, you know, actually, before I do this, I know Danny keeps asking you, right? So what? Right? So what? So let me just give you an idea, and we will get to these, right? It's just, in general, everything in life, especially Torah, but everything in life has to go, right, step by step. You can't jump. But the implications of Lifnei Iver are huge. Just to give you a few that... I've had just in the past few years.
We went over them in front. Like, imagine the implications, right?
But let me jump to practice. Let me jump to right now. The ones I gave you here are super implications. But let me give you one, right? Lemaisa, like right now. Okay, this was a shayla last year in Canada. Okay, it was so this shayla, and it's still going through the courts. Okay, the law in Canada is as follows. If Canada
set the law in Canada.
Canada has very loose assisted suicide laws. Okay, very loose assisted suicide laws, and people are allowed to have physician assisted suicide for many many things.
What
right?
You like if they want to kill themselves,
they're allowed to have doctor assisted suicide.
We have that also in Europe.
Yes, and so Canada is coming over.
Prescribe suicide. As
correct.
Not like that. No, if that person is like
physician assisted. No, physician assisted. No, physician assisted suicide.
The thing is, no, I'm not telling. But also, it's like if you have you're really mental. You know, you're crazy. I mean, you're born crazy and everything. And he's really, like, for a long time wants to do that. He's not prescribing, but he's doing the doctor's allowed to do the act.
Right. Physician assisted suicide.
It's only like if you're dying of cancer.
No. So in Canada,
it's in extreme ways why they do
that. No, not prescribed. Assisted. Like the patient wants to die. Is allowed. Yes. Right. So very. I don't want to get into all the details of what it is, but we have very loose. Canada is very loose. Laws.
Really? You don't even have to have terminal illness?
No. So how loose is it? So at the moment, as the laws reflected, it needs to be an illness, but they include in that illness depression.
Depression?
And you can request it starting at... The court believes, they're still fleshing it out, but the court at the moment thinks that they will allow... I forget what the age was. It was as young as possibly 16 or something like that. People as young as
16-year-old killed himself.
A 16-year-old is going to make a video call.
Because the laws are without getting to all the details. Yes. Now here was the shayla. Canada then put the physician, the Ontario Board of Royal Physicians or whatever, the Royal Board of Physicians, whatever they're called. We still have royal in it because it's still some way related to England in some way that I don't understand. But I don't quite understand how Canada broke from Great Britain in some sense 150 years ago. I don't really understand.
Like,
it's I know she's the figurehead, that she's on the money, whatever. Yes. Anyways, but the professional board essentially of doctors decided that let's say a doctor is uncomfortable with it, so you can't force a doctor to do it.
No,
but by law, right, or whatever, you need to provide what's called in legal terminology effective referral, meaning
a referral
to someone who you know will not then kick it down the road. Right? Meaning
so
effective referral.
Who wants
right?
To it.
So here was the shayla. This is Lifnei Iver. You can't do it. That would be murder. Right? But you can lose your medical license if you don't not just say go to another doctor. You have to give them the name of a doctor who will kill them. Right? Effective referral. So the question went to the highest post-game in the world and said, does a doctor have to give up their job? Right? Rather than give effective referral for what is suicide. Right? That is lifnei iver of suicide. Right?
What?
It is. It's effective referral.
Knows whether or not to kill himself. It's not like he's blind.
That's level four.
You keep bringing this part up.
No, level four. The Nazir who asked you for it. Remember, that was the Chiddush of the Gemara. Right? He's blinded by his desire to kill himself. Right? And by law. Now, the Catholic Church, Paskind, Lahavdil, right, that for Catholics is usser, and therefore they're fighting in the courts. But the question came to rabbis, right?
So your question, if you have a Jewish doctor, but it doesn't matter because it's Shev Mitzvah Tanei Noach, murder.
Correct.
Assisted suicide is
correct. But what if it's a Jew? Right? What if a Jew does it?
I mean, right. Okay, fine. So if, let's say, the Jewish doctor, one Jewish doctor won't, and it's a non-religious Jewish doctor.
Correct. Or a share I gave, right? Someone asked this Shaila, right? Can you be a lawyer? Right? Can you be a lawyer?
Defend a murderer, right?
Forget defend a murderer, right? Because defend a murderer, that's past. You're not encouraging this in the future, right? You defend, that's a different story. But can you, different Shailas, can you encourage a lawyer? Can, let's say, two Jews who should go to a Beis Din first, can you act for them, or are you encouraging them to go to secular court? Can you be a lawyer for someone who knows is involved in shady activity, in criminal activity? You're not directly involved, but you're acting as the lawyer, thereby enabling them to run this business, right? Or do you have, now again, lawyer, there are also laws that govern when you're allowed to turn down a client, right? And what happens if he already is your client, and then you find out about it? There are very strict laws. It's very hard to legally be allowed to get rid of a client in Canada.
We had a really cool share about this once before, because Chinese manufacturers, oftentimes, when you have a Chinese manufacturer, you hire just a Chinese production company or company to deal with it. And what those guys will do is, if, let's say, a driver loses a truck to robbers, what do they do to the driver? They don't fire him. They just kill the driver who lost your truck. So are you allowed to hire those people for your business?
So things like this.
Now, share like that last year. By
so about. those are lifnei iver shailas, right? Those are lifnei iver shailas, right? These are big lifnei iver shailas, right? That's what it is, right? Or to give a lower level, but this comes up all the time in post-game. Midina di Gemara, which is nifsak in Shulchan Aruch, it is usur because of lifnei iver to give food to somebody who you know is not going to make a bracha. So
a Jew.
So someone comes to your house.
Time out.
Right.
It's 100% usur.
Midina di Gemara in Shulchan Aruch, right, to give a cup of water to someone who's not going to make a bracha. Right. Lifnei iver. Right?
That's lifnei
iver. Is that, yes.
Why is it?
That's lifnei iver. Right? Again, remember, it's not, it's like the Nazir, right? You are enabling the sin. You're giving water, he should make a bracha, he's not.
Who are we talking about? Jew.
A Jew.
I mean, blind in the sense that it has any of those meanings.
Level four, right?
He's blind to passion of thirst?
No, that he's not religious, right? Right?
But again,
I don't want to paskin yet, right? I want you to understand. Now, I'm not saying this is how we paskin l'maisa. Shlomo Zalman very much says that nowadays things are different for reasons we'll have to see.
Right?
Right? But the implications of lifnei iver are very serious.
I'm sorry.
Right? Are very, very serious. And we're going to get to them. But, you know, so the so what in lifnei iver, they're real... So what's here, right? Yeah. There are a lot of whats. But we need to understand the sugyot. We need to understand, right? And that's my goal. We're going to first try to understand the sugyot, right? At some point, and we can do this different ways. We can decide to wait all the way to the end of the sugyot to look at any of the lemaisa stuff. We can decide to pepper them in, right, at different points, right? That, like, after we have the Yisodo down, we can do Halacha L'maisa and continue in the Gemara, and then as things come up. But these are serious things, right? The Gemara, as we'll see later on, talks about lifnei iver in terms of Goyim, and one of them is selling weapons, right? The post-Gim, when Israel started setting up, I mentioned this, right, setting up arms deals with countries that do terrible things, which is a big deal nowadays in Israel, right? That we sell weapons. Israel is one of the few countries in the world that sells arms to countries that commit genocide, right?
And other...
This was a big machlokes earlier in the year in Israel.
We sell
to some of the worst human rights offenders in the world that other countries won't. Is that usher? Right? Is that usher? Mishum lifnei iver av akum. Is it encouraging murder around the world?
So
you know, and what? And but Mitzad Sheni, why does Israel do it? Israel
murder?
No, because we're the ones enabling it. Because no one else sells weapons. We're one of the few countries that actually sells weapons. Maybe, but maybe. Is that too much of enabling? Is that
but that's the question.
And 1 second. And Mitzad Sheni, on the other hand, right? Why does Israel do it? So Israel does it for one of two reasons. One is money, right? Two is political capital, right? Is that the more countries we have relationships with, even unsavory countries, right? The better we are in the political arena, possibly, right? Is that legitimate? Does Lifnei Iver have counterbalances, right? So that's part of the question. Again, you see how, right? You see how now suddenly, right? Lifnei Iver isn't just some random sugya, right? Lifnei Iver has very important, again, I'm not answering these questions, I'm not ready to answer these questions, we're not ready to answer these questions, but if you want to know, why is the question of arms deals, it's in this perek of Avodah Zarah. It's just a few dapim later, right? It's here because these are the types of things that come from Lifnei Iver. Lifnei Iver is a very, very important sugya with a tremendous number of lemais implications, both at a national level, at individual levels. Yes. What
next? Let's say you have like a plausible deniability. You know that you're selling this to an unsavory regime, but you're doing it under some.
So remind. So tell me. Via resa me'alokecha. Remember, why does Lifnei Iver, according to Chazal, why does the pasuk end with you fear of God?
I wasn't.
I'm answering the question.
But I wasn't done.
Okay, fine. What's the
question? Are you doing it under the guise that you're using it not for whatever criminal reasons, such as killing their own people, but to defend themselves against other nations? What, you're doing it on the plausibility, you're denying the fact they might use it, but you're also acknowledging the fact that they could use it.
Well, again, same thing as I just said. That's why the Lifnei Iver ends via resa me'alokecha, because there's often plausible deniability in it, and a lot of it. That's why you need the pasuk to end with fear God, meaning part of it what goes on in your heart. Right? This is not something. Sure, you can tell everybody else that's what you're doing, but again, that's why we have to figure this out. And so, just so you understand where we're going, right? Why Lifnei Iver is so important, right? So important of a sugya. I just wanted to sort of throw out some of those implications. We'll get to them. Okay.
Can I ask this? Is hiring a hitman Lifnei Iver?
No, I'm not getting into this now.
Why?
I'm not getting into this now.
I just
told you I'm not getting into the.
So
I'm just telling you the questions that come from it.
Right. I only ask you because it falls into the case sort of.
My question is, if you do that arms deal, is what you have to think in the broader spectrum.
I know, and we'll if you want to discuss arms deals, then we'll discuss the arms deal. So
yeah,
but we're not going
to
jump. I refuse. This is what I want to make clear, okay? On principle, I refuse to jump to the interesting, you know, practical implications without understanding where it comes from. Because to make any good decision, any hard decision, you need to know what's involved. What is involved from a halachic perception in these questions is understanding the sugya from beginning to end. That's why I'm not jumping, right? So I'm giving away the end game, so to speak, but I'm not going to jump there and I'm not going to tell you any answers.
The problem is how you want to go through the entire thing. That includes the rabbis that give cases that don't apply to the case at all. Then you got to go jump to this and then that, but then go off topic to something else. Then I've seen how this works. It's like super annoying that you're trying to figure out one issue and you have to get through five pages before you get to a topic that helps you with the first case. And you got to do it for each time.
Yeah,
that's how you learn tomorrow.
That's how you learn anything.
Mm-hmm. You can skip the complex rabbis that don't apply anything helpful.
No, you can't.
No,
you can't. You need to understand the nature of the prohibition. You need to understand it, right? Sure, not every single nafkamina is necessary to understand every single case, but understanding the principles are important.
Okay, the principles.
By the way, this is why I went through like the opinions. I want to know what you guys thought about Lifnei Iver before we got to the case of Yarov Val Yarov, because it made a big difference.
Okay, last introductory point. As I mentioned this to Shimon before. Throughout the year, I want to hone different skills, right? Because learning Gemara requires different skills. One of them is reading, one of them is thinking, right? One of them is, right? So today, as you can tell from the sources, it was concept heavy before it got to sources. Because I want you to think before we understand where the sources are coming. Okay, these are different, right? We're going to do different things.
I'm
glad, right? And look, some people like reading more, some people like conceptual more. To learn Gemara, you need to be good at conceptual analysis, and you need to be good at reading. Right? What?
It was a
combination of close reading. It was close reading. Okay. Meaning there was conceptual analysis, but it was close reading, right? It's a mix. Obviously, there's always a mix, but today is very conceptual heavy. Okay, so I gave you the question at the beginning. So let's take the case, okay? Reuven causes Shimon to violate Shabbat, okay? So now, right, I asked you, if you had to write a code of halacha, this is right how I would frame it, right? You're writing a Shulchan Aruch, you're writing a Rambam. Where do you put the law that Reuven can't cause Shimon to violate Shabbat?
Specifically that law, Reuven can't cause Shimon to be over in Israel.
Ah, so that's exactly the question. Right, where would you put it?
So I was assuming that was your question, that Reuven can't cause Shimon to be over in Israel.
Not well,
specifically Shabbos, because so, the fact of the matter is you could have about more than a million questions like that.
Good. So here's how the Achronim all like to formulate it, okay? This is how the Achronim ask the question. Is Lifnei Iver what they call an Isur Klali? It's a general prohibition, meaning Lifnei Iver, if I had to write it, means don't cause someone to violate a prohibition. So if I was writing a Shulchan Aruch, just like I have a section called Hilchot Shabbat, and I have a section called Hilchot Kashrut, not really, but fine. Hilchot Tarovet is all Hilchot Basar B'Chalav, Machel Yakum, but fine. Kashrut, Shabbos, Brachot, etc. I have a section called Hilchot Lifnei Iver.
That have to do, you're saying underneath every single one of those you have.
Or, right? Or, is Lifnei Iver what they call an Isur Prati? Meaning, Lifnei Iver isn't a general prohibition. Don't cause someone to sin. It's a subsection of every mitzvah in the Torah. Don't cause someone to violate Shabbat goes in Hilchot Shabbat. Don't cause someone to eat not kosher goes in Hilchot Kashrut.
Oh, that's
right?
Where it's going to make a difference.
Right, meaning, when you if I cause Shimon to violate an Isur Chas V'Shalom, right? What did I violate? Did I violate Lifnei Iver? Let's say,
well, you definitely
right?
did violate Lifnei Iver.
Correct. But how do we halachically look at it? Right? If Reuven causes Shimon to violate Shabbat, Reuven, did he, at some level, through Lifnei Iver, himself violate Shabbat?
Yes.
Or, no, he just violated Lifnei Iver. How does halacha look at it? Meaning, does Lifnei Iver mean, if I cause someone to violate a sin, does that mean I partook of that sin? Or does it mean what I did wrong was simply incite him or enable him to sin, but I don't partake of his sin? Meaning,
yeah, well, there is some partial consequence, obviously.
Of course, there's a consequence for him, but for me, right?
No,
is if
too.
You call what am I? Am I a Shabbos violator or am I a Lifnei Iver violator?
You're somewhat a Shabbos violator because you're.
So that's the question. So this is the question because I didn't violate Shabbat. I enabled him to violate Shabbat.
Without your help, though, wouldn't have happened.
Correct. But what did I violate? Did I partake of Shabbat violation?
You're the instigator.
Yeah. So what's the prohibition? This is how they again. There are two ways of looking at that. You're very set on one of them, right? You're very set. That if I, right, what the Achronim call an Isur Prati, meaning a local violation,
yeah.
That if I cause you to violate Shabbat, I am at some level a Shabbos violator. If I cause you to eat treif, I'm somewhat a non, right, an eater of not kosher,
yeah.
Right?
I get what
right?
you're saying.
Or, no.
Too, you're exempt because you didn't commit it, you were only a messenger, you were just the messenger.
No, but I clearly violated something, but it may be that I violated Lifnei Iver, right? Not Shabbos.
For sure violated Iver.
Correct, but what does Lifnei Iver mean? So what does it mean to violate Lifnei Iver? Does it mean that I partake of your violation, or I have my own violation?
No, it's your own violation. You can have two.
Okay, let me. Okay, the one here. Let me put it differently. Okay, there was one nafkamin I didn't put here because I don't want to look at the sources inside. But it's probably the easiest. It's one of the easiest ways to understand this question. Okay, if I encourage you or enable you to violate Shabbat. When do I violate Lifnei Iver? When I encourage you? Or when you do it?
When you do it.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I could end up not doing it.
We haven't gotten to that question. Let's assume you do it. At what point do I violate?
As soon as the action is complete.
Oh.
Why? Why not when I finished encouraging you?
because if it's at that point, it's just it's more of a thought or a suggestion than it is a complete action.
So what?
Speaking means nothing as opposed to action.
So the Achronim asked, this is the second question. This I did give you sources for. Put it differently. How about this? I give you the tools to violate Shabbat, okay? And you don't do it. I violate Lifnei Iver?
What do you mean? I didn't hear.
Oh, meaning, gosh, yes. I enabled you.
No, because we should. No, you read it.
Okay.
Lifnei Iver. Don't put a stumble in front of
the Gemara. Okay, the Gemara.
Say the blindman will stumble over
the Gemara. Okay, let's take the Gemara's case. I'm on this side of the river. Right? Nachum is a Nazir. He can't reach the wine. I reach over. He says, can I have it to drink? I give it to him. And then he's about to drink it. And then he says, you know what? Rosh Hashanah is Sunday night. Let's not do it. Okay? Do I violate Lifnei Iver?
Yes.
Yes.
Machlokes, what does it depend on?
Rabbi, didn't we say
it should depend on anything. It's pretty clear. Well,
so,
you put Rabbi, the stumbling block there. Rabbi, it's not
good.
So,
according... One second. We can do it for all these... Yes, this is why I gave it to you. So, this is the whole point. This is what I'm trying to get. Like I said, today is concept heavy, right? I gave you... This is what they would call a classic Chakira Nafkamina Shir, meaning a central conceptual question with a lot of practical implications. So, Shimon says clearly, Lifnei Iver, of course I violate. It doesn't matter whether he sins in the end.
Lifnei Iver.
Because my prohibition isn't I partake of your drinking of the wine. My prohibition was, don't put a michshol, don't put a stumbling block. If you, in the end, don't stumble, right? It's like, take the physical case, right? The blind guy is walking, right? This is the equivalent, right? The blind guy is walking. I put a stumbling block there, right? Because I'm a cruel, inhuman person, right? And as, when he's 1 inch away and he's about to fall and break his leg, right?
He like Yosef taps it with his tzaddik. Cane. He taps it with his cane and then he walks
away. Right, or Yosef jumps in and says, oy vey, the blind bird's about to trip, or whatever, right?
You're already responsible for behavior. That's not the
issue. Yeah, You just flipped.
No, I'm talking about the other part. But your portion that's from violation.
You did already.
So, but this is the question. This is Bidiuk the question.
Yeah, but
this is the question.
Why should that be a question?
And again, so this is the question. When it comes to Isurim, is Lifnei Iver, is the prohibition to put the stumbling block, and therefore, it doesn't matter what prohibition you did. It doesn't matter whether you actually do it or not.
Either, yes.
No, it's one or the other.
You said you just gave me two issues happening. You told me that I convinced Dine to break Shabbat.
Good.
I did Lifnei Iver so far. I'm already bad. Set an issue for Lifnei Iver. I'm punished for that. Now when he commits the,
I mean, he doesn't.
So you think it's two levels. You think it's both. But let's isolate. Yeah.
He means that only by convincing me to break Shabbat is already a issur itself. Not even.
Okay.
Let me say I don't do that, but
good.
Even, no, it's already a thing.
But this is the question, right? Look, let's take the first nafkamina I gave you. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, like I said. First nafkamina that they love, the Achronim love, because it's already Machlokes Rishonim, right? They don't have to make it up. This is Machlokes Rishonim. It's Machlokes Balmor Ritva. Balmor and Ramban. But I gave you the summary in the Ritva. Okay? In general, there are three mitzvot which are Harik Val Yavor. Okay? What are they? I gave it to you on the page, but what is it?
And
Shichus Dam. Okay? I put Ritzich here, but Shichus Dam, whatever, doesn't matter. Right? Many Rishonim, and this is Nim Sagan Shulchan Aruch, Paskin, that something called Abuzrayhu is also Yahrag Val Yavor, meaning any subsidiary prohibition of the three is also Yahrag Val Yavor. Okay?
I mean, of the three big
of the three,
things.
Right? Okay.
Subcategories of the main three are considered also.
Correct. Category. There are subcategories that also are part of it. Okay.
Like having a picture of Buddha in your house.
Or whatever, right? We're gonna count in there, right? Whatever we're gonna count in there. Okay.
Is that like an example of subcategory?
Possibly, right? I mean, we have to get into it exactly, but yeah. Right, I mean, there could be subcategories of each of them. Okay.
I have a question.
So, one second. Yes. Okay. Yes.
Of these three, and let me say that you have a Buddha statue at your home. Does, like you said in the Torah, it says, could Hashem curse you about these things? If you have like an idolatrous thing? Could he curse you of sorts?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Okay.
So here's the question that the Rishonim already ask, right? If you assume that subcategories of the big three are also Yehareg Vel Yavor, what about the following case? Reuven tells Shimon, right? It's a twist, right? If Reuven tells Shimon, kill Levi or I'll kill you, what does Shimon have to do?
Not take the bullet.
He has to die. He has to die, right? Easy, right? No question about that, right? What happens if Reuven is particularly bizarre, right? He's particularly sadistic. So he says, right, I want to mess morally with as many people as I can. So he says to Reuven, he says to Shimon, I will kill you if you don't convince Levi, right, to kill Yehuda.
What's he supposed to say? Not say kill?
So what's he supposed to do? Is he supposed to say, kill me, right, Yehareg Vel Yavor? Or
convince Levi.
Or can he say, no, I'm allowed to convince Levi, right? To convince Yehuda. No, sorry. Convince Levi to kill Yehuda. Right? Meaning, so, or as the Rishonim put it, now I'm not involved in murder. Murder, Yehareg Vel Yavor. This isn't murder. This is Lifneiver of murder. Right? I'm using convince because I don't want to get into the question yet, right? Let's just say enable, but whatever, it doesn't matter.
Maybe we'll do it once he says so, because that's...
Good, so that's the question, right? If Shimon will be able to successfully get Levi to kill Yehuda, right, does Shimon have to give up his life rather than convince Levi, or right, enable Levi to kill Yehuda? Is that Yehareg Vel Yavor?
No, it's...
Why yes and why no? And then we'll look at the Rishonim. Why yes, why no?
Because the subcategory is...
We said your subcategory is Yehareg Vel Yavor.
No,
we already said that. Right. The subcategory of the big three is Yehareg Vel Yavor.
Even like I said about how it's two different punishments, even if they need a bit of what the other punishment is, you have a bit of a secondary category. So that doesn't mean you yourself die.
No, it does. That's exactly the point. If you think that Yehareg Vel Yavor, that Lifnei Iver means that by enabling someone to sin, I partake of their sin, then at some level, by Shimon convincing Levi to kill Yehuda, he is a murderer halachically, which means that it's Yehareg Vel Yavor. But if you think that Lifnei Iver doesn't partake of it, what's Lifnei Iver? Lifnei Iver is a generic prohibition. Don't cause someone else to stumble in a sin. But halachically, let's sharpen it, there's no difference between convincing Levi to kill Yehuda or convincing Levi to eat basar b'chalav, right? Or convincing Levi to, right, separate his raisins from his almonds on Shabbos, right? No difference, right? They're the same. It's a generic prohibition. So then, I may have violated Lifnei Iver, but I didn't partake in murder, right? I'm not in no sense partaking in murder. I just violated Lifnei Iver. So then,
well, we know it's not generic. That's for sure.
We don't know that for sure.
Well, nothing in the Torah is ever generic.
That's not true. Because look at the Ritva. Okay, now let's read the Ritva. Right? What does the Ritva say? Let's read it inside. Okay. Who wants to read the Ritva inside?
Aleph Yud
Beit. Yeah, the one in Vav Amud Beit is in that paragraph. Wait, where are you?
I don't know.
Daf al Gav. Three lines, right from the top. Right, fourth line, really, from the top. Yud Beis. Right, exactly where I said in the sheet. Right.
Daf al Gav, Deva Mechir.
The Mechira.
The Mechira. Linkari.
The Nochri.
Or Lehashiel. Leted lo miyad ad. David. Ba'avira, or Takava,
Chikrovet,
Lavadazara, Echamash,
Ika, there is, Mishum, Ika, there is.
There is Mishum, Mifnei Iver, Devar Torah.
Okay, so what does that mean?
Daf, Sunday,
the Afal Gav, right?
Even though Demechira,
you're going to have to get used to reading without Nikudot, because most Jewish texts are not written in Nikudot.
Betty sold.
Demechira, Lenachre, selling to a non-Jew.
Yeah. selling to the non-Jew or to a shield of
to lend.
To lend. Lend villatet and to give to him me a day.
Something
de'avid.
Ba'avira.
De'avid ba'avira to commit an avira.
Yeah.
Or
tikrovet lavod zera, which is things that are actually going to be brought for the idols.
Or to commit avodah zera. Eka, rather.
Eka, there is.
Mishum.
A
place.
No, mishum, because of, or whatever.
There is,
because of lifnei iver.
Because of lifnei iver, dvar Torah.
No, dvar Torah is biblically. Dvar Torah, right? The word of the Torah, not a word. Like, dvar Torah, biblically. So what does the Ritva say? He says, what is our Gemara essentially talking about, how the Ritva understands it? Our Gemara is essentially dealing with the case I just said. Why? Because it is lifnei iver of avodah zarah.
Okay.
What's our Gemara talking about? Right? Lifnei, according to the Ritva, it's lifnei iver of avodah zarah. Now, you could parry this and say, no, it's not, right? Meaning it's lifnei iver of lo taskiru or something like that, which is not quite avodah zarah. But the Ritva understands, the simplest understanding is you can't do business with them, for one of the reasons is you might actually sell them something they're going
to
use. Which means that our Gemara, at least potentially, is Abu Nifneiver of Abu Dazara. So the Ritva says, why isn't it Yarek Vel Yavor?
Was there wasn't convincing. You were selling something.
Yeah, remember, it's classic Nifneiver. I'm just using convincing for ease, but it's not really. It's clause. It's enabling.
Oh.
Right? I'm giving it to him.
Oh, because you want
right?
To sell them the weapons or the meat.
I'm selling him, right? I'm selling what he needs for idolatry. So he says, so shouldn't you say it's Yehar Gval Yavor? It's a cardinal sin. Right? I can't do it. So he says, no, why not?
It's obviously not that black and white.
You haven't finished the sentence. You literally haven't finished the sentence.
I need to know.
You have to read the whole paragraph.
Okay, I'll read the whole paragraph. It's still not going to be black and white.
I mean, for the Ritva it is. The Ritva has an opinion.
The opinion doesn't mean the answer. It never.
It's a machlokes.
This is all based off of everyone's different opinions.
Right.
Mikol makom. Continue.
All that matters is a definitive answer anyway.
There is no definitive answer to any question.
Why
ever?
There
is not.
Then why does halacha? What did you do with halacha?
We have numerous opinions. We usually go by the rove, the majority.
And sometimes we don't.
Mm-hmm. That's why I have a division of Sephardi and Ashkenaz.
No! Because Sephardi Pidak is also full of machlokes.
Right.
Exactly. You don't have any definitive way of the follow halacha. You probably have numerous opinions that all differ.
Right. And
but there's a rove, there's a majority that says one way, and that's what you're calling definitive, which by definition is literally not definitive.
Yeah, but the majority is how you make a decision on how the best way to do it.
Okay, but majority doesn't
or not.
Mean definitive.
What?
Or not.
Doesn't mean definitive.
Right, but it's most accepted. Meaning
that doesn't mean definitive still.
No.
Definitive.
Sometimes we follow majority, sometimes we don't. And it's not so simple.
Okay.
It's never simple. Nothing is ever simple.
Let's prove it. Obviously, there's context between how you get to the answer. You need to read.
There's almost no such thing as a definitive answer that's 100% that is settled and final
and cool,
to
yeah,
anything.
Right,
1 + 1 = 2.
Yeah, besides for certain mathematical
actually,
truths.
We were told we were shown
what?
Wrong. Yesterday.
Yeah, great. What is matzah?
What
is matzah? How much do you have to eat? Which of those things? You're like, oh, there are generalities we agree on, but if you want to get to the details, no, there isn't. It's not so simple. Nothing is simple. How much is a gazayit?
What's it called?
Oh, it's a machloket. Let's move on. Everything is machloket. I'm sorry. That's life.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me tell you a story. Okay. Let me tell you a story. Tova Lichtenstein, right? Dr. Tova Lichtenstein, right? Rav Aaron's wife. Okay. So my teacher's wife, also Rabbi Salvechik's daughter. Right. She's a very, very impressive person. Also herself, she's related to impressive people, and she herself is brilliant. So Tova said once, she was trying to describe what it was that Rav Aaron had accomplished in Gush and changing its mentality over the years he was there. She said one of their first years in Gush, on Purim, one of the students was smashed and came over to her yelling and said, I'll say it in English, "Your husband drives me crazy." Because every question I ask him, he tells me, on the one hand, this. On the other hand, this. On the one hand, this. It's like, I don't want hands. I don't want possibilities. I just want the truth. And he took the table and he shoved it into the wall, and her little daughter, like, flipped out. She said, 20 years later, 30 years later, no one bothers asking. Right? Because everybody knows that things are complex. Right? By the end of the year, if you want a definitive answer, you are going to go crazy in my share, because you are not going to get one to anything.
By the way, anyone who gives you a definitive answer
is probably lying, intellectually dishonest, or an arrogant...
No, like
finish the sentence.
No, like my Rob's will give... They give it based on...
Yeah, you go to him and say, look, some of this fell into our chicken soup. Can we eat the chicken soup? Obviously, in those cases, he's not going to be like, well, actually, it depends. If you hold like this, and this, and this, then yes, but if you hold like this and this, he's not going
to... He may give you an answer, but that doesn't mean... That doesn't mean it's the answer. It doesn't... But
in that case, that
is one of the answers.
Through the tree of what choices are available, but based on how... Moroccan Sfaradim go, that's the...
Oh, because it's so simple, because all Moroccan Sfaradim paskin the exact same way.
Most do, yes.
Not quite.
I'm in the shirin with my Rav, there's very few times...
Correct, but there are Moroccans who follow Rabbi Vadia, who thinks that traditional Moroccan Pesach was...
Rabbi Vadia is a different story.
No.
That's Sfaradim in general.
No! Ravadia thought that all Sfaradim had to paskin like him, and there are Moroccans who follow Ravadia against traditional Moroccan Psak in favor of Ravadia. And then there were Moroccan Poskim.
Sometimes, yes.
And then there were Moroccan Poskim who said that Ravadia was wrong. So even telling me that it's simple is wrong, because there's a huge machloket within the Sfaradi community about whether Ravadia was right, namely that there's such a thing as pan Sfaradi Psak that overrides local Moroccan Psak, or whether we paskin like Moroccans, and that itself is a machloket amongst Moroccan Poskim. It's a huge machlok in the Moroccan postgame.
Right.
Okay?
I'm not saying people follow all... Some people do follow completely by Avadia, and that's not... And that isn't right.
What? No. But again, no, my point is that itself is a machlokes. Nice try. Okay? You're not going to get simplicity out of me. It's not in my blood. I will not give you simplicity for anything. Anything. Okay? Nothing. There is no question you could give me.
When it comes to...
Kimat. Right?
I didn't give you a question that was meant to be like simply...
It's very going to be very hard. Short of like, is there a God? That's about it. But, right? Okay? That's about it. Right? That's the only thing I'll tell you unequivocally yes. Beyond that, good luck getting me to give you a simple answer. Right? Or believing that it's simple. I just don't believe it. It's not in my blood.
You should become a Jewish rapper.
That's what a rabbi is supposed to do. Make it simpler.
Or make it more complicated.
That doesn't make the student compelled, want to learn it.
Why?
Because you make it complex.
Yes.
Most people give up halfway through.
No. The goal is to simplify the questions that are involved.
Right.
But you're not going to get to a simple answer. Right.
Of course, to get to the answer is not simple. But when you give the answer, you can make it simple, simpler.
Okay.
You don't have to go through the whole tree to get to it.
There's a difference between simplistic and simple. Right? We can do our best to make things simple, that they're clear. But simplistic, meaning pretending... that it's obvious. Pretending there's only one answer, right? Pretending there aren't two sides to it, I'm not going to do. Try to simplify what things are based on so they're easy to understand. That you're right.
That's something to do.
But simplistic,
right?
But giving one a single answer as if there's one answer is simplistic, not simple.
I don't give one. I know the differentiations of my customers.
Okay, so yeah. No.
I know which one I need to do based on what...
Correct, but my point is that even the question of what should a Moroccan follow, which psak, right? Meaning you may have your postkim, so for you, the question of what should I do right now, right, is now easy, right? But if you ask me why is that the case, right? Why is it that a Moroccan who, right, should follow that psak? That's a super complicated question.
There's a lineage of answers.
Right, because you have to ask that at multiple levels. You have to ask, first of all, is there such a thing? Is there such a thing as Moroccan Jew from a halachic perspective? That's not obvious, right? Right? Rav Avadia denied it, right? Rav Avadia said, no, there's an Ashkenazi and a Sephardi, right? There is no... There, from a halachic perspective, there is nothing that allows Moroccans to rely on Psakim that another Sephardi wouldn't rely on. Other people will tell you even more than that, who said there's a difference between Ashkenazi and Sephardi. Where did that come from? Mehecha Zehidchil. Right? Where did that happen? Right? And even if there once was, right, is that true now that we don't live in Ashkenaz or Sfarad? Right?
What did that mean?
Right, meaning it makes maybe you could say, look, if we lived in Morocco, we'd have Moroccan psakim. If we lived in Ashkenaz, or lived in Europe, we'd have Ashkenazi psakim, but we don't. We live in North America, we live in Israel, right? Are we bound by the authorities of our parents? Who says we are?
Doesn't that fall under the rule that you're supposed to follow what your parents do?
Where's that rule?
The Milav and Hagim.
Where?
Customs. The four world.
Good. It doesn't appear anywhere in Shas.
What?
Doesn't appear anywhere in Shas.
Shas. It's oral Torah.
Doesn't appear anywhere.
Oral Torah.
Yeah, and Minhag Avot is not one of them.
Wait, Minhag is not something.
Family Minhag? Family Minhag? Nope. Family Minhag is a.
It's for sure family. It's the story they give.
So why?
The kids,
nope.
The kids
wait,
ask.
He's, Rabbi Ginsburg is always very into. We come here to see new Minhagim and learn the reasons for them, but he says don't just change it.
Correct. That's what we say. But from a formal halachic perspective, it's not clear why that's true. It's not clear that it's true.
What's the basis for the story they gave?
Rov Rishonim understand that as doing Minhag HaMakom, not Minhag Mishpacha.
Interesting. So Minhag Mishpacha.
B'nei Beishan, the fourth parak of Psachim, according to Rov Rishonim,
is ruined. Great job.
Right? My point is simply to get. I don't want to get into any of these sugyas. My point is that life is complicated. Can we move on and say life is complicated?
Wait, what?
Make our own Minhag?
No, life isn't complicated.
Go off with someone else?
Yes, it is.
No, it is not.
Yes, it is.
We moving on.
That's who we are, the person who complicated it.
Why obvious? Nothing in life is obvious. I'm going to say this 100 times.
I have Minhag every day before my prayer in the morning. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't help your connection with Hashem.
We are that person.
For the 100th time.
It's not a Minhag.
Nothing is obvious.
That person comes to
nothing. Everything you think is obvious is not obvious. That doesn't mean it's wrong. It means it's not obvious.
Okay.
Right? I'm not telling you not to follow it. I'm telling you it's not obvious. My goal is not to convince you that something is not true. My goal is to convince you that nothing is obvious. That's all. Okay? Good. Let's get back to our sugya.
I'm saying, but the Dutch only hold an hour because that's their ancestors.
The Dutch hold an hour because meals were separated.
Let's continue. Okay? The Ritva says, how could it be that it's not Yehoreg Val Yavor for you to enable the non-Jew to bring this carbon, right? He says it lifnei iver of avodah zarah. So what does he say? Mikol makom.
Nevertheless,
ain kan bishvil ken Yehoreg Val Yavor. It's not Yehoreg Val Yavor. Why? Now, right? What does he say? Read it.
Where? What number?
Where you were?
I left off.
He said, nevertheless, it's not Yargo Yargo, it's Af Al Gav. Right, Daf Al Gav, which means Af Al Gav is even though. The Kaimalan.
The
Kaimalan. Right, that we rule, we establish.
The Avodah Zarah,
right? I said Abizrahu, right? Abizra, same word, right? And all its subsidiaries.
Afilu
Lahanar Atzman, which means even for the benefit of the person himself. That's a complicated sugan Sanhedrin. Let's leave that for a moment. Right? Yehareg Val Yavor. Not Yeharog, Yehareg. There's a difference. Right? Yehareg Val Yavor means be killed rather than violate. What is Yeharog Val Yavor?
Kill
rather than violate. Okay. Right? Those are not the same thing. It has to be passive. Yehareg.
What do they mean by kill besides of being violated? What do you mean?
Right. Kill, be killed rather than violate.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeharog would mean kill, not be killed. Kill.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Yahreg Val Yavor, right? Shiny Isura Delifne Iver.
It's that I have Isur for.
Right, no, shiny is not that I. Shiny, it's one word. It is different.
It's different to be Isur for.
Lifne Iver is different. Right, and now. The Ritva is going to heavily disagree with everything you said before. Okay, so just know that.
Okay.
Right? That doesn't mean you're wrong. It means the Ritva.
Yeah, Ritva doesn't agree with me.
Well, not correct. Really. The Ritva is just going to disagree, and there'll probably be another Rishon that agrees with him.
Correct, in the footnote. Right, that's the Balamor. But the Ritva, right, you were convinced that Lifnei Iver, of course I'm partaking of Avodah Zarah, right? If I'm encouraging someone to worship idols, of course I'm partaking.
Partially.
Yeah, he says not at all. Look, he says, Not at all. De lo miyached la'avodat gilulim lifnei iver is not unique to avodah. It's not part of it. Elo lav kolel hu l'chol ha'isurin. It's a general prohibition for all isurin. De lo amrin yahargval yavar elak shu isur miyuchan l'avodah zarah. It would only be yahargval yavar if it was a unique avodah zarah prohibition. This is not. When you violate Lifnei Iver Avodah Zarah, you are not violating Avodah Zarah. You are violating Lifnei Iver. You are not partaking of Avodah Zarah.
According to
the Ritva.
Yeah.
Right?
Make sure you add that at the end.
We're reading the Ritva, right? Bahainu, and then it goes on. Okay? So the Ritva comes down to the position very clearly, right? You can't read this two ways. Is Lifnei Iver what he calls an Isser Klali or an Isser Prati? Is it local to the prohibition being violated? Or is it a general prohibition not to cause others to sin?
Is the concept of Lifnei Iver even taught anywhere else in other Sfarim?
Well, what do you mean other Sfarim?
Like, we're learning about Avodah Zarah, and now we're going to this whole thing about Lifnei Iver.
Yeah.
Learning all the rules of Lifnei Iver in this piece.
No, we're not learning out Lifnei Iver from specifically Samaric. Yeah. We chose that because Lifnei Iver was brought up as a strong piece that happens to do within this Gemara. Now we're delving further into just that.
Yeah,
it's not a specific Tavod Azar thing.
No, Gemara isn't written as a code. Like, it's not like, this, right? It comes
we're
up here.
Lifnei
this is the main discussion in Shas. It comes up in other places.
It comes up in this Masechta.
Right, it comes up in other places in Shas.
You pulled it out. It was in this book of Azar.
We learned it. We read
the Gemara.
We had it in the Gemara, right?
You're saying, but all we've been doing right now with Lifnei Iver, is it also in the Avodah Zarah? Or we took it from a different book?
The main discussion of Avodah Zarah are here. The main discussion of Avodah Zarah are this sugya.
Okay, so and Lifnei Iver is also discussed a lot in this. It takes a break and then explains Lifnei Iver.
The Gemara takes a break. The Gemara, in context of trying to understand why you can't do business with non-Jews,
right,
takes a break because Avodah Zarah is one of the possibilities.
And once it takes about two lines long,
and then because it continues later on.
It goes even.
I mean, this Masechta continues. It comes up elsewhere in this perek, but yes, the main discussions. But now we have to understand what the Gemara did. Because the Gemara, the main sugya of Avodah Zarah, yes, it swallows in a few lines, right? And then for the Rishonim, continue to try to understand it. So we're trying to understand the Gemara. So the Ritva tells you, in no uncertain terms, that Avodah Zarah is not partaking of the local Isser. It's just a generic prohibition. Don't cause people to sin. And therefore, you don't give up your life.
So you're not chayef for the action that was done.
Correct. You violated Lifnei Iver. You did not violate Avodah Zarah. Right? Now, the Ramban agrees with him. But
you're not chayef for the action that you
did. No, you weren't right. You're still wrong in like 50 other Rishonim's eyes.
But,
right according to the book.
So the...
Yes.
I'm glad you're all right. But who agrees with... So Nachum agrees with Ritva. And who agrees with Yosef?
No one.
The Baal HaMor. Right? The Baal HaMor says it's not true.
He agrees with me or you.
With you.
What you're saying.
Right? We didn't read it, but I told you it's in the footnote, right? If you just look at 116, right?
Baal HaMor agreed with... supported the...
No, look at 116. Look at footnote 116. I made it simple for you. He said, Kenu b'mochamos rishonim sham. Right? The Ritva's position is also in the Ramban in his Mochamos and other rishonim there. Dilo k'Baal HaMor. But not the Baal HaMor, because the Baal HaMor agrees with Yosef. And the Baal HaMor says, no. Lifnei Iver isn't a generic prohibition. If I encourage them to violate Avodah Zarah, I'm partaking in Avodah Zarah.
Oh.
Right? And therefore,
I have to be somewhat punished.
Not punished. It's Yaharik Val Yavor.
So how can you explain KPK it in the other... How can you explain that it comes up in other... Isurim? The Isser of the Neiver doesn't just come up in Avodah Zarah, it comes up in other places as well.
Yeah, of course.
So how can you say it's a unique to
Because Zara? And that's why I gave you that example at the beginning, right? I said, if you were writing a Shulchan Aruch, where would you write Lifneiver? So according to the Ritva, you would have a simon called Lifneiver. According to the Baal HaMor,
you'd have it
right?
Every
it would be an addendum to every mitzvah. Or at the end of every mitzvah, you know, like every mitzvah that has Malkos, it'll say, If you violate this with two witnesses, blah 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 blah, with warning, blah 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 blah,
so
you'll get Malkos.
So it's not
right?
That Lifnei Iver is specific to each of to
it's
category.
It partakes
an example of Lifnei Iver to every Isser.
I mean, Lifnei Iver is a detail, so to speak, in every prohibition.
It's a detail of Avodah Zarah, so why...
No, but meaning it is. That's the point. It's a... That Lifnei Iver of Avodah Zarah is an Avodah Zarah halacha. Lifnei Iver of Shabbos is a Shabbos halacha. Lifnei Iver of Kashrus is a Kashrus halacha.
Lifnei Iver is a whole separate thing. It's not unique to just these...
That's, again, that's the machlokes. Again, this is the machlokes. The Ritva agrees with you. The Balamor agrees with Yosef.
How can you say that it only applies, like, not only applies to Avodah Zarah, but Lifnei Iver is an Avodah Zarah concept?
Because the Balamor understands it.
Comes up in because the Balamor as well.
Because no, right here it's an Avodah Zarah concept. When because it's under the umbrella of Shabbos, it's a Shabbos.
If you get if you eat not kosher, you get malchus. If you, right? If you violate Hilchos Yantif, right? You do Malachan Yantif, you get malchus.
Right.
Right? So you could look at it and say, look, the malchus that I get if I violate Yontif is Yontif malchus. The malchus I get if I violate Kashrus is a Kashrus malchus.
Right.
Right? It's a local, right? The local law. It's true that it comes up in another 100 places, but in each case, it's unique to the law under discussion. Right? It takes on the character of the law under discussion. Right?
It's like a shot.
Right? Or let's say you're in law school, okay? Right? How do you learn contracts? One way is to say, look, all contracts are basically the same, and then you just plug in details. So I'm going to learn it in a course called contracts.
Right.
Right? Another way to say, look, I'm doing inheritance right now. I'm learning inheritance. So instead of learning contracts, learning inheritance, I'm going to learn wills, right? Because a contract in an inheritance context is called a will.
He said, so the guy who agrees with Yosef.
Yosef holds like the Balamor.
Okay, so
namely that Avodah Zarah means I partake of the local Isser.
The Balamor is saying that there's no such thing as an Isser of Lifnei Iver.
Correct.
Except when it comes to that topic.
Correct. Lifnei Iver
can't stand alone.
Exactly. That's a good way of putting it, right? Lifnei Iver doesn't stand in a vacuum. It's just, it's something that tags on to every prohibition in the Torah.
How can he say that?
What do you mean, how can he say that?
He's just not.
What do you mean, how can he say that?
I'm a safer speech.
How does he explain that it says Lifnei Iver on its own, though?
Sure, it's a pasuk, but he says when you get to its core, conceptually, what is it? Right? It's a prohibition with which tags on, right?
So it's not its own issue.
Correct. It's not a standalone.
So if I go put, according to him, if I go put a stumbling block in front of a blind person,
we haven't gotten into. We're going to come back to that.
We did have.
We're going to come back to that.
We did have a rishon though that said if you actually go put a physical stumbling block in front of a blind
person,
not over anyone.
You're over the issue of causing blood in your house.
But according to the law, right, you're not.
No, okay, so we're going to come back to it, right? It's a good point, and I put this at the end, right? The complicating factor to all of this is going to be that this whole discussion only makes sense at level 4 of Lifnei Iver of prohibitions, right? But Lifnei Iver of, let's say, level 3 of bad advice, I'm not partaking of your bad advice. The prohibition is to give the bad advice, right? So it's obvious, okay, but you know, since you brought it up, we'll jump to it now, okay? We saw that lahalacha, there are two levels to Lifnei Iver, at least, that are true lahalacha. And one is the one of prohibitions, and one is the one of bad advice. If you say, like, Nachal, right, that Lifnei Iver is a generic prohibition, so then, in what way is Lifnei Iver of Isurim related to Lifnei Iver of bad advice? Right? How are they similar? They're the same, right? I mean, they're basically identical, meaning you can't cause someone to stumble.
Right.
Bad advice, prohibitions, right? And that's why it has multiple levels, right? But for Yosef, it's going to be a problem. Why? Because Lifnei Iver of Isurin, it could be that it's a prot in each Isser. But Lifnei Iver of bad advice, you're not partaking of their bad advice. It's clear that it's a standalone.
Right.
It's clear that Lifnei Iver of bad advice is a standalone. Right? So according to Nachum, all of Lifnei Iver has a single nature. Don't cause someone to stumble. According to Yosef, you're going to be forced to say that Lifnei Iver has two levels within it. The Lifnei Iver of bad advice is a standalone. The Lifnei Iver of Isurim is a tag on.
Why would you say that it's lifting either one way or the other, but it's based off of the outcome.
Each nature. Level three is only the idea if you can punish the behavior, but four, when you do an Easter, you punish the Easter and the
correct. Okay. Correct.
Why wouldn't Lift Neighbor bad advice be? If you tell someone, oh, go outside, it's a nice day outside, and they have no idea what the sun is for whatever reason, and then they go outside and get their skin like horribly burned, so now you're gonna be Ezekiel.
Well, because it's not no, but if you think no, because if you think that Lift Neighbor is a prod, right, is a detail that if I caught someone to violate Easter, I'd partake of that,
right?
Have you?
I'm not sunburned. Right, you're saying come on to a different Easter, but that's already saying something else. Right? But if I cause you damage, right, through lifting there, so then I'm climbing using, but it's a different formulation. So
the whole is
but Nachum, that's very good. I mean that's the point, right? Part of this analysis, part of what drives it, is the relationship before the Easterin. What you're saying that lifting either is a general prohibition is intuitive because it fits with level three. Right? What Yosef is saying is a chiddush, right? What Yosef is, but and this comes back to Yosef's point, because what did Yosef say? And Yosef said this, and I pushed him off unfairly because I needed to wait, right? But now that I said this, I can say it. What did you say? You said that Lifnei Iver what? You said it's not one or the other. It's
what both?
It's both, right?
What?
That may be the way of squaring it, which is to say that Lifnei Iver of Isurim is both. Simply giving the bad advice, meaning simply encouraging someone to violate the sin, is Lifnei Iver level 3. But once they sin, then we add level 4, namely, I partake of the Isser as well.
That's what I was saying originally.
I know, but we needed to come back to it, because but the Ritva denies that. Right? The Ritva denies that. The Ritva says that no, Lifnei Iver v'Isurin has no relationship to level 3. It's only partaking of the prohibition, and therefore... Right. Right? And therefore... Sorry, other way around. It doesn't partake of level 4. Right? Sorry, it's only level 3. Right? There's no partaking. It's only level 3. Right? The Ritva says I don't partake of it at all. Right, and therefore it's not Yarek Vel Yavor. The Balamor says, not true, I do partake of it, and therefore it's Yarek Vel Yavor. Okay, let's try one more Nafkamina today, and then we'll do the rest, as many as we can get through, tomorrow. Okay, let me try to pick a short one here.
So what's the outcome in the end?
The Ritva, what do you mean? The Ritva says it's not Yarek Vel Yavor. The Balamor says it.
What do people hold like that? Is it like...
You want me to give it away? Right? I didn't give you Shulchan Aruch. No, I can give this away. Right? It is a machlokes, but Shulchan Aruch. Right? The halacha in Shulchan Aruch, in the Rama, quote in the Ramah, in Yerodeh and Kufnu Zayin, is that we paskin like the Ritva. They pass like the Ritva.
So
it's not like we win. It's just it happens to be there.
The Ritva means that you're not responsible for him.
You are responsible, but it's not considered Avodah Zarah, and therefore it's not Yahar Gal
Yabor.
Okay, let's do.
You're still wrong.
Okay. So here's what I want to do. Okay, let me throw out one more. Okay, you're going to read this yourself tomorrow, but I want to throw out the conceptual question, okay? A related question, this is what I gave you in V, but it's an easy one to understand. Do you violate Lifnei Iver if the person doesn't end up violating the prohibition at all? Right, that was what we said before. So again, so if you think that level 3 exists, right, if you think the prohibition is general, don't cause a mechshol, right? So then, yes, right, I put the mechshol. Right? In order to say no, what would you have to say?
Level 4
exclusively. Meaning you'd have to say the Lifnei Iver of Isurin only means that I partake of the Isur. Right? The Michshol disappears. I only violate if you can formulate it as if I partook of the prohibition. But if I didn't partake of the prohibition, then I did nothing.
Right?
Right? It's one or the other, not one and the other, it's one or the other. Right? And this is a machlokas achronim. Just to make it easier, I gave you the Rav Asher Weiss, and you can read it tomorrow. It's easy Hebrew. It's relatively easy Hebrew, though he does have a middle position that we'll get to. But fundamentally, right, that seems to be again what the machlokas depends on.